Hello, and welcome in to another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our Week 6 Best Bets recap and our Week 7 preview here today on a Wednesday night, Codes. Are you you all packed up? You ready to go tomorrow? Big trip?
We are. We're ready to roll. We're unfortunately, our flight's not till about 7 o'clock tomorrow night, but we do not have anything on the docket for tomorrow besides posting the podcast. So it's gonna be a nice relaxing day before heading off to New Orleans. How about you? Are you all ready to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Got a few more cosmetic things to pack up in the morning, but you know, all that stuff we're gonna use tonight. So we are very excited.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me clarify. Toothbrush and toothpaste and all that still out. We're not waiting until tomorrow night in New Orleans to.
I'm not that ready. Yeah. No, we're gonna have a good time. I guess that's a nice segue to mention that this is going to be our only pod for the week. So we'll probably maybe give an update at the end what we're leaning towards as our five, but we're just gonna have to go ahead and post our write ups in the Facebook group because we don't want to lock anything in this early in the week. But before we get to the Week 7 action, we must unfortunately recap another losing week for the pod in Week 6. This one not quite as bad as Week 5, but losing nonetheless, 2-3 for both of us. Pretty unfortunate on a few of these for sure. Let's just run through these real quick, Cody. Both of our first ones were winners, so we'll start there. I had Baltimore -6.5. They ended up winning this one 30-23. Felt pretty good about it throughout. They went kind of back and forth in the first and second quarter, but Baltimore really took over into the late third and then just kind of held Washington off. Ended up winning by the hook here by 7, but we felt good about this one. I think the cap was pretty much spot on. The rushing game was the difference. Washington, 18 carries for 52 yards total. Baltimore, 37 for 176 and 2 on the ground. Really hard to make up that sort of differential. Both quarterbacks played well, but when one team's running the ball like that and the other team can't do it at all, it's just going to be hard to keep up, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a very good bet. I do hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it was actually worse than you thought. I went 1-4 this week. I only had my one winner, which is what we're going to talk about.
Because you didn't tail me on Detroit because you pulled it out. That's right.
Decided to keep Carolina in there instead of Detroit. So, yeah, ended up 1-4 this week. So, yeah, we are on the struggle bus. We have a hole to dig out of these next couple of weeks. But my one winner of the week, Bears -1, covered against the Jaguars. Honestly, kind of blew them out towards the second half. There was a pretty easy, comfortable win to start the day. Honestly, felt like I called this one. Made me feel pretty good about the day. Jaguars struggled against the Bears' good defense, and the Bears' pass attack destroyed the Jaguars' worst-ranked pass defense in the NFL. But unfortunately, like I said, this is where the fun for me on Sunday stopped, as we did not have a good rest of the week. But felt really good about this game. Honestly, kind of, as I'm looking through the games this week, I'm trying to take a more analytical approach like I did in this game for the Bears and Jaguars, and hopefully going to pick some more winners that way instead of going a little bit less been a little bit too much of the gut feel as opposed to just going by the numbers and keeping it to the statistics. So going to try and switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, Bears bet was good. Like you said, pretty much from the get-go, they started laying it on them, and they were up big from the second quarter on. That one cashed pretty easily. Ended up being Jacksonville favored by 1. By the end of that, Sharps really came in on the Jaguars, but they were not on the right side there. My first loser of the day, New England +6.5. Houston ends up taking it 41-21, so it doesn't look great at the end of the day. A couple chances for us to get back in the game here, but I think out of all of my caps, this is my least favorite. Joe Mixon was really the difference here. Houston ended up running for 192 yards in this game. They ran for 213 in week 1 with Mixon, but in between week 1 and this week 6 game, their highest total weeks 2 through 5 was 101 rush yards. So Joe Mixon really made a difference here. I didn't think a hobbled Joe Mixon or, you know, their backups at the time. We weren't sure if he was going to play when we ended up locking these picks in. I didn't think they were going to be able to make that sort of difference on the ground, but they did, and it opened things up for CJ. He really didn't even play that well, if you break it down. You know, just like 20 for 31, 192, three scores because he had a lot of short fields with some turnovers and a pick, 6.2 yards per attempt. I mean, that's fine, but his defense and his running game really carried the day here, and that was kind of the part of the cap I was off on. Drake May did look good, 21 points from the Patriots. I would have taken that all day long. You know, 7.4 yards per attempt, a couple picks, and a strip sack. That's kind of the, you know, the fly in the soup. But overall, I think the offense of the New England Patriots did me well. The turnovers were just poorly timed, and the running game of the Houston Texans did a lot better than I expected.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, just kind of poorly timed turnovers. But, I mean, yeah, Drake May looked pretty good. Like, if you had told me Drake May was going to look that good minus the turnovers, you would have felt amazing about this bet. It's just those costly turnovers just got the worst of you on that one. Yeah, it's hard to get a cover whenever you're you said 4-1 turnover ratio?
4 turnovers to 1, yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. All right, let's go over here. We'll run through my couple of losers real quick. The first one, Packers and Cardinals did not cover the 47.5. They decided to land right on 47, unfortunately. Oh, Kyler did have somewhat of a dud game, but it wasn't even just Kyler that ended up costing us on this one. We had the Cardinals fumbled the ball on their last three possessions, all three of them. The first one on their own 30. So, you know, that one, you're like, okay, there should be some points there. Missed field goal by, I do not know how to pronounce the Green Bay kicker, but I know that he was cut. So
he's no longer the Green Bay kicker. Yep, I was going to say, yep. Narveson.
And then we had a second fumble from the Cardinals on the Green Bay 39, resulted in nothing. And then another one on the Green Bay 18 that resulted in nothing. So just absolutely such a bad beat. This should have been over. This should have been over by maybe 10 or more points. Poorly timed turnovers for this over completely killed it. The Packers did a good job of being able to melt the clock away at the end of the game. Cardinals weren't able to touch the ball again. And, you knew as long as the Packers didn't have to hit a pop play, they weren't going to. You were hoping for a way for the Cardinals to get the ball back, but this one sucks. I mean, I feel like that's 2 weeks in a row we've kind of got screwed on an over. But, again, those are kind of probably didn't have the best stats to go behind that game. Kind of was a gut call and kind of paid for it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can fault that at all. 34 points at half. You know, you're looking for 14 points after 34 in the first half. That shouldn't be a very big ask, and you land right on 13. Just bad luck. I think this was the right cap. I think the one factor that we didn't consider was that this ended up being a wind game. So there was some weather consideration here that was not necessarily in the forecast when we did the game. That's just kind of the risk you run when you bet an over in outdoor games. And this was down to 47 by kickoff. So maybe if you bet it the morning of, you actually pushed. But yeah, definitely unlucky. I mean, if you have 34 points at half and you end up with 47, that's really all you need to say. Just unfortunate. I think the thought process was there for sure. Carolina +6 was my next loser. They end up losing this one 38-20. I don't hate this one either. This one I like a little more than the New England game. Carolina took a lead here to start 7-0. Thought we were looking good. Atlanta's running game really just could not be stopped whatsoever. Algier and Bijan, 33 carries, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns with longs of 20 and 17 respectively. So just chunk play after chunk play. That's what you get when you bet the Carolina defense. Even with that incredible rushing success, they did take a 2-score lead for about a minute and a half in the first quarter, the end of the second quarter, that being the Falcons. Carolina immediately scored a touchdown to get it back to 5. And then they did not get up 2 scores again until 5:35 in the fourth quarter. So we were covering this game from the jump until 5 minutes left in the fourth. A couple interceptions make it look bad, 38-20. But, Dalton's driving. If he doesn't throw that pick and we get within 1 score, I think we have a great chance that Atlanta just bleeds the clock and we end up winning, you know, this bet on the cover. But just didn't get there because we had that last interception or last couple interceptions from Dalton. He threw that one right at the end of the game. But Cousins himself wasn't great. 19 of 30, 225 yards, touchdown. Didn't get sacked, so no negative plays, which is hurtful. I thought we'd get one, maybe Kirk Cousins pick or sack fumble in this game, kind of how he likes to roll when he has his dud games. But he just didn't make any mistakes, let his running backs do their thing, and they ended up being the difference here.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't want to spend too much time on it since we both had the game, but this is one that you never felt out of. It felt like we could have covered all the way up until the fourth quarter. And then again, just turnovers. Turnovers were honestly the name of the weekend for the podcast. Kind of just screwed us all over the place. But that was a rough one. Like I said, felt good going all the way into the fourth quarter, and then you just kind of saw it completely melt away from us.
Next one I'll take, it was my second winner, Detroit. This one, super easy, Detroit -3. They went 47-9. This one I had the turnover luck, 5-0, but I'm even not sure it would have even mattered. This Detroit team was better in every facet of the game. I don't need to say much more than 47-9. I did find one stat that was pretty funny, or that I found interesting at least. Detroit, only 4-for-10 on third downs in this game, winning 47-9. That conversion rate, 40%, would be 18th in the NFL this season. So they left meat on the bone, if you can believe it. This thing could have been even worse than it was. Detroit ended up getting stopped 3 or 4 times in the red zone and kicking field goals, and it was still this ugly. So I've never seen a 47-9 game that should have been worse than 47-9, but that was it right there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am such an idiot that I decided to take this one out of the three that I could have taken out. Going back and listening to last Thursday's podcast, I said that the Lions were going to be in my lineup almost no matter what, even if the line moved against me. And because I wanted to get cute and try and move out one of our ones that we had overlapping, I unfortunately moved out the wrong one. So that sucks, because I want to bet on the Lions. I absolutely love them, but they should have been in my five. That was just a bad move by my part. All right, my second to last loser, and then we share the last loser, but this one at least has a little bit of a positive twist I can throw on it. Chargers and Broncos failed to go under in their 36.5 total. Honestly, didn't really feel good about this one. Denver struggled, but the Chargers put up 20 in the first half. Now this is where we're going to take a pause, Nick. Lou had a nice little stat for us on last week's podcast that Justin Herbert, when leading at halftime, was it the third worst record in NFL history, pretty much, in the second half. So we didn't know what the exact metric was, whether that was the live line or the like predetermined second half line. But at halftime, when they were up 22-0, I put Broncos +19.5. on, and that was a sweet win that at least covered my loss from the under. So I was pretty stoked about that. Ended up following that trend that you called out last week and at least made up for it. But in the second half, the Chargers stalled out, but the Broncos were able to score a couple of touchdowns in the third and fourth quarter, just made the difference in this one. Ended up just barely going over. Not really too much to say about this one. It was pretty close. It was a low scoring game. That's what you expected. Just a little bit. I feel like a little bit better offense overall in this game than I was expecting. The running backs were able to get going a little bit. Both quarterbacks had okay days, not great by any means, but for their level of weapons and such, had good days. So just a little bit more than I was expecting.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain getting hurt early in this game was a big detriment to this under. He really changes the way the Broncos are able to play defense as a whole. Kind of knocks, now your second corner's playing number one. You can't play as much man. You're probably going to have to help with the safeties, can't help on the run, that sort of thing. And it kind of trickles down from there. And the Chargers, like you said, put up a good performance in the first half. And that's kind of the problem with these low over-unders. If one team goes up 17 points like that, then the other team's gonna have garbage time, and a lot of the time that will lead to lots of throws, and at some point probably a few points, just because the clock will not be running as much as it would if this was a 10-7 game at half and both teams came out running the ball in the second half like they'd probably like to. Just unfortunate that this game wasn't close all the way through. Otherwise, I think these two teams, the way they want to play, this thing is going to go under more often than it doesn't. But
for sure,
last game for us. This is just kind of the classic, like when it's not going well, this is not the type of game you win. When it is, this is the type of game you cover. 23-20, we lose. The Jets plus 2.5 by the hook. This thing I thought was definitely going to get us back to 500. Coming into the night, it was plus 1 for the Bills. The line had moved 1.5 since we gave it out on Saturday, which is always a good sign. Penalties galore in this game. Such a horrible game to watch. Missed field goals, 3 of them, 2 for our guy, and a missed extra point and a missed field goal for the Bills kicker as well. But all in all, really, at the end of the day, this is a really even game. I mean, total yards, pretty much dead even. First downs, very close. Turnovers, 1 for the Jets and none for the Bills, but the 1 for the Jets was it was like 3rd and 16 at the end of the game, and he threw a pick deep down the field. I'd hardly call that really a traditional turnover. At the end of the day, if you're going to tell me these two teams play an even game and you're getting plus 2.5 and you have the home team, I'm going to go ahead and take it. We just don't have the luck right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, this one just sucked to watch because the game itself was pretty exciting, but just the flags made it terrible. I mean, it was like every 20 seconds the game was getting stopped for another flag, which just made it tough to watch. And then just down the stretch, things didn't really go our way. Obviously, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, I lose on an Aaron Rodgers interception to end the game. And both of them were not very good throws. He obviously let out his frustration in the press conference after for – Mike Williams, who probably will not be a Jet for longer. So
poor Mike Williams.
Yeah. Probably future Chief Mike Williams. Might be a little excited about
that.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I don't have too much more to add on that game. That one was a rough one. Sucks to see us lose again. Another kind of close one that we were pretty close to being on the right side of. So rough to see, but not much we can do. Turn the page, hopefully get the tide going back in the right direction, because we certainly need it.
Yeah, last week, one of the best weeks of all time for public bettors. Road favorites, every single one every single road favorite won and covered their spread. Pretty incredible stuff. Those are not usually bets that we like to take. Luckily, I did have one of them in there, and then I had a home favorite as well that also won and covered, being the Ravens. So got to 2-3 at the end of the day. I feel like I'm a little lucky there, because I, you know, usually we're going to lean on the home dogs, especially when there is that many of them. That's just how we like to play and how those trends work out in the long run in our favor. But in a 1 week sample, anything can happen. And this one, if you were a square bettor, you did very well in week 6. So maybe something to keep in mind in week 7. I think, some of these lines, you got to be careful. You don't want to just ride those trends again. Like I said, last week, the best week of all time for public bettors, at least in the last like 20 years since this Bet Labs data that I like to look at has been available. So let's jump into week 7, Cody, the game I will be at tomorrow. Cody will be arriving shortly afterwards. Denver at New Orleans, my Denver Broncos, 2.5 point road favorites here, over under of 37. Dennis Allen, 2-9 straight up and 2-7-2 against the spread in prime time. Bo Nix, my road warrior, 3-0 against the spread on the road so far in his career. I'm going to be honest, I don't have too much of a lean here. Since there, you know, this is Nick's first Rattler. It's very coin flippy between two rookie quarterbacks. I'd probably lean towards Denver, but I would like to get it when the number was New Orleans plus 1 earlier in the week. It's flipped all the way to Denver minus 2.5. So I'm probably going to have a pretty large bet on Denver, but that's because I'll be at the game and wearing a Broncos jersey. So that does not mean it will be in my 5. But Cody, how do you feel about it?
I like Denver. I feel like this is a good matchup for them. Obviously, the Pat Surtain injury kind of gives me a little bit of hesitation. Did we give final word on him today?
I think he had a concussion, so I just assumed he's not playing. I haven't even checked, but if he got a diagnosed concussion, there's no chance he's playing.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, yeah, that scares me off a little bit. Honestly, I like the side, Denver minus 2.5, and I also kind of like the under as well, which is a little bit odd because typically if you want the under, you want the team getting points. But I just don't like this New Orleans team. I feel like I don't feel like they're going to be able to move the ball ball very well against this Denver defense. Obviously, not having Surtain is a little bit of a struggle, but not having Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed is going to be pretty difficult on the Saints side as well. So, I mean, your two of a cornerback is now guarding their third string wide receiver. So I don't necessarily hate that too much. I think on the other side of it as well, the Saints defense has been slightly underwhelming this season. And I do feel like Bo Nix is, you know, at least he's being steady. Obviously there's some more improvement to come, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Broncos minus 2.5. I'll wait until tomorrow, cause I'll lock it in the Facebook group, since that's where we're going to be putting all of our picks this weekend. But I would say it's in contention to potentially be in my five for the week. The only thing that's stopping me from putting it in there is my Southwest flight is right at the time of this game and I won't be able to watch it. So I don't know if I want to, if I want to just have to like check my phone. As just soon as
wake
I
up to an
0-1.
That's tough. Yeah, I mean, the sharp money is with you. Heavy sharp lean on this game towards the Broncos. 46% of bets, 72% of money, and the line has followed. It looks like 2.5 might pop to 3 soon. So I get wanting to wait till tomorrow, but you might want to lock it in as soon as you can. So you still have that 2.5 codes. It's at -115. Looks like the best number you can get, at least on Action Network. So just keep that in mind. Might be 3 by kickoff. So. You're with
we may lock it in at the end of the podcast.
If you like us and you like the Broncos, either way, I'd go ahead and take the 2.5 while you can. Patriots at Jags. Jaguars, 5.5-point home favorites in Cody. You want to try out that accent again?
Absolutely. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the New England Patriots over in London. We're going to go ahead and get our tea, get our biscuits in the morning. Over under 42. That one wasn't very good. I feel like Bez is very easy to say in an English accent. The Patriots is a little bit tougher, but that's all
right. I kind of put you on the spot there, yeah. And I'll lead you in a little better next time. Like Cody said, Jags 5.5-point favorites over in London, over under 42.5. Favorites of a field goal or more are 25-7-1 straight up and 21-12 against the spread. That's just internationally. It could be Mexico as well, but either way, international favorites usually do pretty well. I think that's probably where I'd lean here. Another one where I don't have a huge opinion yet, at least not in huge consideration for my five, is a very sharp lean to the Jags right now at 5.5. This number has completely held, even though a lot of tickets are coming in on the Patriots because a lot of people probably saw Drake May last week and are excited to bet him against a bad Jaguars team. But I think I would just ride the Jags here under a touchdown. They are the better team. They haven't looked like it the past couple weeks, but the Patriots coming across the pond and May's second start, it's a tough spot. Jaguars have been there all week. They don't have to travel internationally for this game. So under a touchdown and leading Jags, but it's not one of my favorites.
Yeah, it would have to be like 3.5 for me to consider putting it in my five. I think you're on the right side for sure, being on the Jacksonville front, but just 5.5 with this Jags team feels like so many points. And Drake May at least looks solid. Like you said, he does have to go over to England for a second start. That's definitely not going to be the easiest intro to the NFL, but I don't know. I can't lay 5.5 with this Jacksonville team. Honestly, this one, again, another one I probably just like the under, even though I don't like Jacksonville's defense very much. I do think that it'll be a tough game for Drake May being overseas for the first time. So under 42.5, I somewhat like, but probably won't have any action in this game. Probably because I won't be awake for it, because I imagine Saturday is going to be probably one of those 4 a.m. kind of nights. So.
Why not run it back, right? I think you're probably right about that. But yeah, I don't think either one of us are going to end up pulling the trigger on the Jags unless some, you know, really compelling evidence comes out to support that game for some reason. Seahawks at Falcons. Falcons 3-point home favorites, over under a juicy 51 points here in Atlanta. Stat of the game, even after last week's ATS win, the Falcons are 8-18-1 against the spread after a straight-up win since 2020. That's the worst in the NFL. Despite that, I think that's where I lean here. Another game, I think that the value is probably gone here. was 2.5 for Atlanta. Now it's 3. Like them under a field goal here. I feel like the line's probably just right. Same with the over under. I'm pissed I did not bet this earlier in the week. I think it opened at 48.5. I really liked it. But up to 51 now. That's a pretty big jump, and I think there's good reason for it. I might still look to the over, but these numbers over 50 just do not have a good rate of hitting at all. Yeah, I don't have a lean for the 5. I have some coming up later, I swear. But this one, I think, is just capped pretty well right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Also, still somewhat agree with you. I think I'd be on the Atlanta -3 side, but don't feel overly confident in it. And then, yeah, over-under. I mean, I lean over 51 with these two teams, especially with the injuries Seattle's dealing with on their defense. But honestly, again, both two of them, same as Nick, that I just don't feel comfortable enough putting in my 5 whatsoever. So I like the game. That's going to be one fun game to watch on Sunday, most likely, but I don't feel strongly enough about any side in it to put it in my 5 picks.
Yeah, start your fantasy assets in this game, but maybe lay off of betting it unless you want to take the over. I think that's my strongest lean here, even at 51, but just know you've probably lost the best of the number at this point. Tennessee at Buffalo Bills, 9.5 point home favorites, over under 41. Josh Allen has closed as a 4-point favorite or more 27 times over the last 3 full seasons. The Bills just 9-17-1 against the spread in those games. Of 46 QBs to close over 4 points in any game during that span, Allen's mark of 9-17-1 is the worst in the NFL. Josh Allen struggled to cover big spreads. I think that's still where I'd lean here. I swear I have some coming up later that I like more, but there's no way in hell I'm putting my hard earned money on Will Levis on the road against Buffalo, but 9.5 is a big number. And these trends are telling me that he's had trouble covering those, the past couple of years. So, and that's kind of where the NFL has been this year as well. Cody, do you feel, more strongly than I do?
I hate to be this for the first few games, but I don't necessarily love either side of this. I think if anything, I'd probably lean over 41 points in this game. Reason being, Legarius Sneed misses practice on Wednesday, dealing with a quad injury. So, I mean, I know it's just one player, but he is a complete lockdown on whoever Josh Allen's favorite passing option would be, whether Cooper plays in his first week or it's Shakir or whoever it would be. But if he's out, I kind of just like the Bills to honestly get it going. And then, you know, the Titans suck to watch because Will Levis is so bad, but he's just going to have to throw the football 30 times every single game. So he's bound to connect eventually on some of them and hopefully just enough to kind of clear the 41. So over 41 is interesting to me, but it'd probably come down to whether or not we have some key defensive players playing or out of this game.
Yeah, we'll see where they end up. But as of now, on the spread, I really have no interest here. If it got back down to 9 or under that, you could use this in a teaser leg. But beyond that, I don't want to lay a big number with the Bills, and I'm not betting the Will Levis-led Titans on the road. Here's a game I like. Bengals at Browns, over under 41.5. Cincinnati, 5.5 point road favorites here. I have a few stats for us, so buckle in. Browns, this is an anti-Brown stat. These are really easy these days, but this one's pretty funny. The Browns have yet to score 20 points or pass for 200 yards in a single game this season. They are the first team to accomplish this notorious feat through 6 games since the 1999 Browns. Gotta love Cleveland. Underdogs in AFC North games since 2018, 45-30. That is the best of any division. That's the best underdog ATS record in any division in that span. And that's including the one, there's only one game that I can remember being played between AFC North foes so far, that being the Bengals Ravens, and a horrible beat for the dog in that game, that being the Bengals. They should have easily won that game and covered their 2.5 number. But even considering that, still a very strong lean to the dogs when you play in the AFC North. Burrow himself, 1-5 straight up against the Cleveland Browns overall, 0-3 in Cleveland. Final stat here, Joe Burrow, in Cleveland against a Jim Schwartz-led defense, 13 and 3 points in the two games that he has played the past couple years. Cody, I'm going to throw it to you. I just want to see where your thoughts are. I have a pretty clear lean on this game.
I honestly don't have very many thoughts about this game, but I just want to ask you, is there a very sharp lean on the Cleveland Browns in this one?
There is, unfortunately, a very sharp lean on the Cleveland Browns. I don't think that's where I'm going to go with my my pick for our five here. I'm going to go under this 41.5. The Bengals, yeah, so the Bengals are they're the consummate over team, obviously. Fantastic offense, bad defense. I think that's just what everybody sees and automatically bets a number of 41.5 here towards the over, but I just gave you that stat earlier. Cleveland has not gotten to 20 yet in any of their games. And Cincinnati at home should not be a tough matchup, but they've had easy matchups and they have not done well with them so far. Deshaun Watson's just next level bad. Until they switch over to Jameis, I have no interest in betting the Browns themselves, at least not in our five. I did place a bet on the Browns. It's the right side. If it gets to 6 or 6.5 people, you should probably just put it down. But I like the under 41.5 here a lot. I think Cleveland's defense could give Joe Burrow some trouble. And I think we also have the out of, you know, the Bengals winning this game something like 28-3 or 28-10. And, you know, a no-show from the Cleveland offense could get us here as well. At 41.5, just a little too high for me in an AFC North battle. These are typically low-scoring affairs. And with one team incapable of passing the 20-point mark, we just kind of have to worry about Cincinnati covering, 75% of this. Cleveland's defense is still good. They're prideful. This is a foe they play a lot. I think they'll get up for it. I could see them holding Joe Burrow's offense down a little bit here. We saw a similar unit in the Giants, you know, very good front four, give Cincinnati some trouble last week. So I think you could see something like that here, hold Cincinnati around 20 points. And if that's the case, then I think this under clears pretty easily.
Yeah, I think that's a great analysis for the under for sure. I think I might just ride Cleveland with the professionals and just take a bet.
Yeah, I got him at 6.5. But, yeah, when they pop.
Yeah, I love that. Yesterday. I mean, I guess honestly, I don't know. I guess if it was already at 6.5 and move that much, it'll probably stick at 5.5. I don't think it'll move too much more.
Moved to 6.5 after the Cooper trade yesterday. And then I guess it got bet back down because now it's at 5.5 again. But I think that was reaction to the Cooper news, and then professionals probably came in on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it at the 6.5. I like it at 5.5. That just might be one I might get talked into listening to a couple professional podcasts. But
I think
just because it's so gross, and eventually Cleveland's going to have to come around. I should have bet them last week when I wanted to, and I didn't at 9.5 against Philadelphia.
So tough, though, I know.
This is another one where Cincinnati's like the public perception, like they're a little bit better than like the public thinks they're a little bit better than they actually are. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just a perfect spot to snag Cleveland at 5.5 or 6.5 if they move up again. But I don't know. We'll again, another one. Join the Facebook group. The link for it will be in the podcast description. We'll post all of our picks on Sunday morning. I have a feeling I'm probably taking the Browns plus the points.
If you didn't get a 6 or 6.5 yesterday while it was sitting there, I think you could wait. I could see this thing coming down before game time, but I could also see this getting bet to 6 or 6.5 in between now and Sunday. With, like you said, there might be a lot of teasers and stuff that come in on the Bengals, and that can also help move a line up just to, discourage that activity of a book's trying to get some money in on Cleveland. So that is something to consider as well. If you want to wait for a 6, I don't blame you, but otherwise just ride the under with me. Again, this is just kind of a historical trend. We like to ride. The Bengals struggle against the Browns defense, and the Browns offense is completely inept. So two things that play well for an under. Texans at Packers. Packers 2.5-point home favorites, over under 47.5. Matt LaFleur has been very impressive in games against good teams. He is 28-15 against the spread against teams above 500 as coach of the Packers. And that's where I want to go here. Houston burned me last week against a bad Patriots team on the road. Got to give them their flowers. They played well, but this is a much tougher test on the road at Green Bay. Only 2.5 points at home is that's a decent amount of respect for CJ Stroud in this game, in my opinion.
For sure.
I think, I think Green Bay, you could argue, has a lot of the advantages beyond the quarterback, which I would call somewhat of a wash. Wide receivers right now, I'd lean towards Green Bay with no Nico Collins on the Houston side. Running backs, I think you could probably call a wash, but I'd probably lean towards Green Bay with a, you know, slightly younger Josh Jacobs and maybe better options behind him. Offensive line, I'd also lean Green Bay. The defense, both these defenses pretty similar in my opinion. Houston might have the better top end talent, but Green Bay probably has better depth and a better secondary. So I think those are about a wash as well. And at home, that's basically where the 2.5 is coming from. So I think Vegas is telling us they see these teams as neutral on an even field. I think the Packers are slightly better, especially without Nico Collins on the Texans side. It's a really big deal. They didn't need him against the Patriots last week, but they might need him in a game like this against a good team. So if this stays under 3, it has a pretty good chance to be in my 5.
That is an interesting side. Yeah, I like it. I honestly love Green Bay when they're at home because I feel like Lambeau Field doesn't necessarily get all of the credit that it deserves for how good of a home field advantage it is. I just feel like their crowd's always rocking, and I know 2.5 is the standard, but like you said, if you think these two teams are even on a neutral field, like I feel like Lambeau's worth probably an extra half a point of value. So I like Green Bay quite a bit. Also, Houston coming off of a pretty good win against the Pats, so good opportunity. Maybe, you know, public probably coming then on them after hanging 41 on a bad Patriots team. But yeah, going into Lambeau, I like Green Bay -2.5. That should be a good game.
Yeah, 71% of early tickets on the Texans. That I love that because this line has not budged really. It's closer to popping to 3 for the Packers at this current price. So, just something to consider there. Looks like the sharps are going to be leaning towards the Packers, and I am as well. Hopefully this thing holds at 2.5. I'd really like to get it under that key number of 3. Miami at Indy. Colts 3-point home favorites over under 43.5. Indianapolis, one of 4 teams the last 5 seasons and the only team this season to play 1-score games in each of their first 6 games. This team and Miami really just kind of a crapshoot. And no thanks. I have no interest going anywhere in this game with Anthony Richardson being the ultimate wild card and the Miami Dolphins coming off a bye with a backup quarterback. Just no thank you. I don't have any analysis here.
Yep. If it was Joe Flacco, give me the -3 all day. No shot. I'm trusting Anthony Richardson off of his injury. So I'm right there with you. No interest in this game. Probably won't even consider any side of it.
Yeah, if there's some report or something that comes out that says, you know, they're starting Flacco for some reason, that's not going to happen unless he has an injury in practice. But this is kind of the same situation as last week where they were it was seeming like Richardson was going to play, and then they, you know, waited till basically Saturday to announce that Flacco was the starter. So if for some reason that happens, I would smash this -3 because Indy's just at home against a pretty bad team, and I trust Flacco, but. And it will go up. I think it was at 4.5 on Sunday. Then Richardson got announced, and it moved down to 3. So it'll move up if Flacco's named the starter. But other than that, no thanks. This one is very interesting. Lions at Vikings. Vikings 1.5-point home favorites over under right at a dead even 50. 2024 Vikes and the 2007 Pats are the only teams in the last 20 years to start 5-0 against the spread and straight up. And 5-0 first half against the spread. Pretty incredible stuff. That 07 Pats team was a pretty good one. Goff, give some good numbers for him. 6-0 against the spread against the Vikings as quarterback of the Lions. Goff and Campbell together, 21-9 against the spread as dogs, including 9-1 in their last 10. Tough to go against them here, but I think that's where I'd lean here. I don't think this is one that I'm in consideration for my 5. This seems like a game I just kind of want to sit back and enjoy against the two of potentially the 3 or 4 best teams in the league. I'm probably just going to sit back and watch it. I have definitely some fantasy interest in this one and maybe an over as well. This has come down from 50. I'd have to look more into that. I haven't had time to research these two. You know, maybe there's some sort of game flow thing I'm not seeing here, but I'd lean over and I'd lean Vikings, but it's just a lean, and I don't think either one will be on my 5.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't feel like I'm contributing very much, but I agree with you. This is one that I want to sit back and enjoy. I could see this going very many different ways, and I just hope that it's a at least an entertaining game one way or another. I just don't have a strong lean in any direction, both over, under, and against the spread. So, again, kind of sitting there with Nick, hoping for just a good competitive game against probably two of the best teams in the NFC.
Sharps really love this Vikings team. This line has been kind of strange. Opened at 1.5 for the Vikings. Bet up to 2.5 yesterday, and then exactly the same as that Cleveland game, now down to 1.5 again. All the money pouring in on the Lions from the public bettors. That's usually where these bets are coming early in the week. As you'd expect, you know, they just the public absolutely cleaned up last week, and they absolutely cleaned up on the Lions specifically. So expect a lot of people to roll those bets over on Detroit. That makes me want to pick the Vikings here, especially if this moves back to 2.5. That's the books telling you where they think this game is going. So just keep that in mind if you're trying to bet the Lions. Just be careful. It's this line's a little fishy to me. Eagles at Giants. Sorry, do you have anything else on that game?
Nope.
Eagles at Giants, over under 43. Eagles 3-point road favorites here. Couple stats for you. Eagles, only NFL team without a point in the first quarter so far this season. That's pretty incredible. Jalen Hurts also struggles in this spot. We brought this up when he was a favorite in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and it still applies. He's 7-15-1 against the spread as a road favorite, 1-5-1 in his last seven. Cody, I may end up having a spot in this game, but I'll throw it to you to see what you think.
Oh, man. I hope it's with me because I don't want to go against you on your bachelor party this weekend. But New York Giants +3, baby. Give it to me all fucking day. Or freaking day. My apologies. But this Philadelphia team is so bad. Philadelphia, oh my gosh, barely coming out of a win against the Cleveland last week. Nothing but noise in the press all week this week with their head coach yelling at fans. They are just a complete dumpster fire. And even though the Giants aren't good, at least they are somewhat of a button-up organization. I love this if Malik Nabers is fully back and able to play this week. At least the Giants would have a elite offensive weapon out there. A little less in love with it with no Nabers, but it does seem like he should play. So looking forward to that. But yeah, I just want to fade this Eagles team for the foreseeable future because I still think that they are getting way overvalued by Vegas and the general public because of some of the names they have on their offense and what they were, you know, for 2 years ago and for the first 10 games last year.
Yeah, this is I love the Giants in the spot as well. Not going to repeat everything Cody said, but I think this reminds me a lot of the game that we both bet on the Giants last year in, I believe, either week 17 or week 18, where the Philadelphia Eagles were on the road in New York. They were like 5-point favorites or something against the DeVito-led Giants. And, you know, they needed the win, but they didn't really need it because it was, you know, if Dallas wins, it doesn't matter to them. And they got their doors blown off right from the beginning, even when they were trying. And then Dallas started winning by a lot and they pulled all their players and just got, you know, their doors blown off them. But they were getting their ass kicked well before the starters came out of that game. I totally agree with you. I think this Eagles team is just broken right now. The coaching staff is not great. And I trust Dable to coach up a good game against a defense that I think he'll be able to exploit in one way or another. The matchup perspective is not the best. I don't love the Saquon revenge narrative. You know, you don't want to get lost in those sort of things as a better, but I do believe that he probably has a little extra motivation to play this week. And then I think the Giants' biggest strength on defense, their D-line, can be a bit neutralized by the Eagles' good offensive line. So when I look at it, you know, like X's and O's wise, I don't love it. But if Nabers is back, I trust Dable to scheme up enough on the offensive side. And this Eagles team, I mean, yeah, they are just – they look like shit right now. And they looked worse against that game against the Browns at home. My God. I mean, that was just a horrendous showing. And for Sirianni to be, you know, like shouting at his own fans or whatever was going on there after the game, winning a 4-point game against the fucking Browns at home is just ridiculous. But I will love the Giants if it's a 3, especially if we have Nabers.
Brian Daboll is going to cook Nick Sirianni this weekend. That seat's going to get even hotter. That's
my
Brian
favorite
Daboll
matchup in this game. That is my favorite.
100%.
Yeah, he is a far, far better coach than Nick Sirianni. And yeah, I trust him to eat his lunch when it comes time. Vegas at LA. Rams 6.5 point home favorites here, over under 43.5. I actually see a 7 on here as well. So if you like the Raiders, you can probably get that. Since 2003. Okay, this one's a little wordy, so stay with me here. But since 2003, when two teams with a win percentage of 33% or less play, that would be this, and one is favored by at least 6 points. So two bad teams, one's favored by at least six. Those teams are just 62-83-1 against the spread, 43%. We have a pretty strong correlation there and a large sample size to taking the team, getting the points in these situations. Another one, pretty wordy, but I thought this one was pretty interesting. Last three seasons, we've had five teams that have come off back-to-back losses of at least 14 points and then play a team coming off a bye. So you kind of expect those teams getting their ass kicked to playing a team coming off rest to lose. Those teams are 5-0 against the spread in those five games. The teams that had lost those games coming in, that'd be the Raiders in this spot. I think that's where I lean as well. I actually bet the Rams when they were at 5.5. I thought they would get bet up. They got bet up because the Cooper Cup news, I assume, and that's kind of what has happened here. But I kind of like this bet for the Raiders. This feels similar to us taking them earlier this year against the Ravens. And I think that, make no mistake about it, this will be a Raiders home game. This is not going to be a Rams home game. There will be more Raiders fans in the stands than Rams fans in this game. So getting 6.5 in what is going to feel like a home environment, I think it's just too many points for a Rams team that's just not that good. Their defense is bad on all facets. They can't really stop the run, can't stop the pass. And then their offensive line is not great. And I know Wilkins is out now for the year for the Raiders, but they still have Max Crosby. He could make a couple plays here and, really turn things in our favor with just one, turnover or a sack fumble or something like that. So this gets up to 7. I think it may end up in my 5. At 6.5, I might just bet it myself and then lean towards some other games. But I do like the Raiders right now.
I think that's the right side to be on in this game, just based on the trends and the logic that you gave behind it. I kind of like the over 43.5 in this one. Both of these offenses are somewhat struggling. On the Vegas side, I don't see that one necessarily improving too much, but at least on the Rams, they get Cooper Kupp back, which I think will be a massive help. Really, both of these teams, just Rams and Vegas, are the fourth and fifth worst defenses in the NFL in points per game this year. And then when we look at these two teams, let's see where they're at in pace of play here. The LA Rams, Vegas is a little bit.
The Raiders, they have a very high pass rate. I know that. The Raiders, surprisingly so.
Yeah, Raiders, let's see. They are near the bottom half of the league. The Rams are the top half of the league. So not too big of a distinction there. But I don't know if it'll make my 5. Just curious in this over here. I just think both these defenses are bad enough. And I think these offenses will be able to score some points. But probably not in the 5.
Yeah, this will depend on the line for me. And you get the added bonus of Cooper Kupp potentially not even playing in this game. We got some positive practice reports. He is not guaranteed to play, though. That is kind of, an important distinction to make. So a Rams offense without Kupp and getting 6.5 is just too much against basically anybody. Carolina at Washington, Commanders 8-point home favorites, over under 52 points in Washington. This stat is just awesome. The last 30 years, Washington is 13-40 against the spread as a favorite of 6 or more. That's like incredibly, incredibly bad. It's almost impressive. It's a new era though with Jaden Daniels. I don't really put any stock into that. I just think it's interesting. I'd probably be on the Panthers here if I'm betting the spread, and I might end up putting some down on it, but I'm not going to waste any more of anybody else's money on the Carolina Panthers. And like the over, but 52 is pretty high in a game with one just really bad team. I just don't love to count on them to cover 24 points of this over. So I don't have much interest in betting aside. I'll probably be on the Panthers +8 though. It won't be in my 5.
Right there with you. I want to put Panthers +8 in my picks, but not going to do it. Ah, man, I don't know. I don't want to do it, but gosh, 8 points, like, Washington defense is so bad. Even to say Andy Dalton should be able to have a good game. God, I hate that so much.
He should, yeah.
But if he doesn't against that defense, Bryce Young's coming back. So nice little warning for Deontay Johnson fantasy owners there. That's probably the next couple. I know I'm trying to trade him in every league right now. I'm just trying to offload him where I can. But Carolina should cover this number at 8. I've been burned by him enough already this year. I'm just tired of putting Carolina in there and getting screwed. And I think the 2 weeks that we did not put them in, no, the 1 week we did not put them in was the only week that they've covered so far this year. So it's been brutal.
KC at San Francisco 49ers, 1.5 point home favorites in the Super Bowl rematch, over under 47 points. Patrick Mahomes, 10-3 straight up as an underdog. Yes, 10-3 straight up as an underdog, 11-1-1 against the spread. It pains me to say it, but I don't know how you don't take the Chiefs if it's still 1.5 on Saturday. There's a damn good chance it'll be in my 5. Like I said, we've had 13 tries of Patrick Mahomes giving points in an NFL game. He has failed to cover one of those games so far. San Francisco matchup-wise, I mean, we can get into the nitty-gritty. These teams are really good. Okay, they're two very good teams, but at the end of the game, San Francisco has struggled in the fourth quarter basically all year. They have not put away the teams they beat, and they have lost a few games they shouldn't have, with basically fourth quarter comebacks being a problem for them. And the Chiefs have been somewhat the opposite. They've kind of just struggled through the first three quarters of most of their games, the last game with the Saints notwithstanding, but they've sort of let teams hang around and then put everyone away in the fourth quarter, with the help of the refs or not, they've done it. So I struggle to understand why they are laying points here. Honestly, I think this line should be the other way around. And I might even still consider taking the Chiefs if they're under a field goal, but at +1.5, it's almost a no brainer for me. It's got to be in there.
Yeah. It's nice coming off a couple rough weeks. And I feel like I have 5 strong picks that just are spots that I love to take. And this is exactly one of them. For all the same reasons Nick just listed, I'm not going to just keep repeating after him, but KC +1.5. And like you said, even if it comes down to basically a pick 'em, you love them. You love getting Patrick Mahomes in that spot. So one of those that you probably got to take, KC +1.5, will also probably be in my 5 as long as it's still available come Sunday morning.
Yeah, I think I like over 47 here too. I know we think of the Chiefs as an under team. We've been kind of pounding the table about how we think that teams are we get some value on these unders because people want to bet overs in Chiefs games. But I just think this might be one of those kind of empty the bag type of games for both Shanahan and Reed. And you're going to see a lot of third downs getting converted because of just smart scheming, and at the end of the day, good offense is going to beat good defense. So if Reed and Shanahan truly are emptying their bags play calling wise, this could get to the over just because these offenses are going to be executing at a really high level. Purdy's also played incredible ball this year. I have not been a huge Rock Purdy fan in the past couple of years, but I can't really argue with the fact that he's playing very high level quarterback right now. So that makes me lean over as well, but I just want to take the Chiefs +1.5 at this moment.
Yeah, and like what you said about the empty the bag kind of game, after this, the Chiefs schedule really opens up. I mean, you have Raiders, Broncos in a couple weeks, then you have a stretch where it's Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns. Like, their hard part of their schedule was definitely the first few weeks, so this is definitely going to be one of those where they're going to want to get another win here and just kind of probably coast for the next couple of, 2 months against these lesser opponents. Not lesser, but you know what I mean. Not competing for Super Bowls. So I think this will be a huge game for KC. I think they're going to be up for it, especially you get Andy Reid off of a bye, which we don't have that stat in here, but I know that's usually a pretty good stat to look at. He's usually pretty dominant when he gets time to prepare. So but enough rambling about Kansas City. I already got my Mahomes jersey in the suitcase. It's ready to roll, so you'll see it on Sunday.
No, you're not breaking that thing out. I'll fucking rip that sucker off your disgusting chest. Jets at Pittsburgh. Jets 2-point road favorites, over under 38. Since 2012, the Jets are 0-19 straight up and 1-18 against the spread after facing the Bills. That's just, what the hell is that? That is incredible. 1-18 against the spread, Cody. That is way more impressive than 0-19 straight up, and they are both really impressive. But how crazy. Wild. Just crazy. Yeah, absolutely. Weird stuff. Yeah, that has nothing to do with anything, but just a cool stat. Jets obviously trading for Davante Adams this week. That's kind of the big story here. And then also Russell Wilson coming in to start for the Steelers. Cody, I'll throw this one to you. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to fade the Jets, but after two losing weeks in a row, it's probably kind of dumb to fade them for, you know, the third week. But I just like Pittsburgh +2. This is the Mike Tomlin spot, underdog at home. This is where he, you know, shines for better. So want to be on Pittsburgh +2. I liked it a little bit more when I was first looking through the notes than I do after talking through a couple other games. But I mean, all the stats, all the trends are all going to point you to taking the Steelers +2. I'm just a little bit worried because the Jets have looked a little underwhelming, and I could just see them having a good game with the first week of Davante Adams, just because I see Davante Adams probably being over targeted in this game. But I don't know, probably won't scare me off, but I probably still like Steelers +2.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting to a side here. I am just really not a fan of this Russell Wilson move. I don't really understand it.
So stupid.
Fields has looked good, adds a dimension to the offense that, you know, obviously Russell doesn't have at this point in his career. And I think he probably gives you higher upside too. I mean, if he really does level up as a passer at some point, I know it's been a few years, he's still young. Who the hell knows? I mean, if this kid just gets clicking, I just feel like he gives you a better chance to really, you know, compete in a couple playoff games if you are, you know, that's your ultimate goal. I don't understand going back to Russ here.
He's 4-2 coming off of a dominating win. Like, who gets benched after that? That's crazy.
Yeah, Tomlin just has like this loyalty to the veteran players. I think that earns him a lot of respect in locker rooms, and it's a reason that he's really loved amongst players. But sometimes you have to make business decisions. I think this is probably one of those times. But you know, if Russ comes out and struggles, I think they'll quickly go back to Fields. But that has to be struggling getting to a side. So I'd probably just lean under here. I think Russ will be rusty, and this is a tough matchup for a Jets team that, you know, coming on the road in Pittsburgh. I know he's getting Davante Adams back, but is their connection going to be instantly back to where it was a couple of years ago? I don't know. I mean, I think it might take a couple of weeks for them to get their chemistry back. And Pittsburgh's defense is good, and it's on the road in Pittsburgh at night. Like you said, Tomlin, whether I agree with his decision on Russ or not, I think he's a good motivator. And as a dog, he usually does really well against the spread. So I expect the defense to compete. And 38 seems a little high. I expect this to be on the other side of 37, just looking at it on its face. So I might have to look into it. Maybe there's a reason for that. But if it's at 38, there's a chance it's in my five. It's on the back end, but I do like that number.
Yeah. So I like the sound of that as well.
Two more Monday night games for us this week. I don't know about you. I really like this. I hear a lot of people complaining about it. I don't really get it. I think this is fun. I can follow two games at once. It's not that hard. Like, you can change the channel from one game to another. And it's a good time, you know, because a lot of times you end up with a stinker on these standalones, and then it's just, that's all you got. You're giving yourself two chances to have a decent game, and people will be engaged throughout. So I think it's smart, but that's just my 2 cents. Anyway,
YouTube TV, baby. I don't even have a Sunday ticket, and it lets me double box them up when there's two games playing on Monday night. So I just get both games right there. I can flip left or right depending on which one I want to listen to. Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I mean, I'm the guy that literally sits on his phone and watches Red Zone all day on Sunday. So the more action I can get, I'm perfectly fine with.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is it kind of spreads out the action on Sunday. As much as I love a football Sunday, it's hard to track 9 games at once, even in a sports bar with all games. You know, it's just like, that's a lot. I could take six games in the 1 o'clock slate and then, you know, spread the rest of them out a little bit.
Yeah, the 10 games that was a couple weeks ago at the 12 o'clock slate, like, oh, just too much going on.
It's crazy.
I can't even try to keep up with what's happening. Yeah.
I wish they would spread them out a little more. Always have 4 games in the 3 o'clock. Never have 3. I don't get that shit. But anyway, so I like that they're doing this. But Ravens, 3.5-point road favorites in Tampa Bay, over under 49.5. Lamar, give this stat out a lot, but it's still important to reiterate. 22-1 straight up against the NFC, adding another win to that tally after beating the Commanders last week, but only 11-1 against the spread. So that is a impressive win-loss record, but apparently keeping these games close for the most part there with a dead even against the spread record. Lamar, in his career, also struggles to cover these bigger numbers, 21-31-1 against the spread as a favorite of three or more. Those numbers even worse the past couple seasons. I really, really like the Bucs here. The matchup is absolutely perfect for them. You know, they, if you just really break it down from a what does Baltimore want to do, obviously they want to run the ball. Tampa Bay's strength is their run defense on the defensive side of the ball. And then when you go to the other side, you got Baker and the weapons, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Baltimore, what do? They stop the run. They also, they're a bit of a pass funnel. Tampa doesn't want to run it anyway. They're totally fine with that. They will abandon the run without, you know, a second thought and do just fine getting the ball out to their playmakers and, you know, kind of passing it to their running backs instead of a traditional run game. So 3.5, this is just, I think it's too big of a number. If it's still 3.5 by Saturday, it'll be in my five for sure. I like Tampa to maybe even win this game outright. I know the 22-1 stat kind of scares me, but the fact that he's 11-11-1 against the spread tells me he's probably gotten a little lucky in a few of those games. So we'll be riding the Bucs here at 3.5. The matchup is perfect, and Baker's hot right now. Let's just keep riding him.
Yeah, I like the Bucs plus 3.5 as well. It will be a bet that I make. It won't be in my five just because on the games that we may potentially overlap, this one's probably on the outskirts of it, but I'm right there with you. I will for sure have a bet on this one Monday night. Any touch on the over-under, 49.5? I feel like that's – I don't know. I want to kind of go over on that one as well, but I know it's not technically a solo game, but being technically a Monday night game kind of scares me off of that. I could see this being a little bit lower scoring. Maybe the Baltimore run offense gets a little bit stuffed by the D-line of the Bucs, and it's a little bit lower scoring. But 49.5 seems like an easy number for these offenses to clear. Not easy, but yeah, it seems like it could.
It does. Yeah, I don't have a great read on the Tampa defense right now beyond their ability to stop the run, honestly. I know they've had some moving parts in the secondary as far as injury is concerned. I think they're mostly healthy now, but I don't know enough to confidently say, you know, this defense is either bad or good in that area. And that can make a big difference here when it comes to the over-under, especially if I think Baltimore will have to throw, which I think they will. So I don't have a great read on the over-under. 49.5 is pretty high. I think it's moved up too. So action coming in on the over, but I don't know. I would leave the over-under to, you know, to you if you wanted to look there, but I just really like the spread. So I just take Tampa 3.5 and, you know, that's where I'd go. Sure. Second Monday night game here, Chargers at the Arizona Cardinals, over under 43.5. Kyler Murray, this is the spot you usually want to take him, 27-17-2 against the spread as a dog in his career. And he has been 500 or better every season of his career as well. So very consistently better as a dog. I think that's where I'd lean as well. 2.5. I'm okay. I'm good sitting it out. I want to wait for a three, and I'll probably be betting it if it gets to plus three. This Chargers team does not want to play a wide open game, you know, either way. So I think that even if they end up coming out and controlling this game, I could see them winning a 20-17 style game and pushing anyway if you get that three on Arizona. So I think there's a lot of avenues to covering this three if it gets there. It's not one of my favorites, though. I like that Tampa bet better. So I'm probably not going to double down on the Monday night action. Just know, if it gets to three, I'd probably place a bet on it. And yeah, that's where I lean.
Yep. I mean, you're on the right side. Obviously, going to take the home underdog with the Cardinals. I honestly just hope the Chargers have a first half lead, and I could just hammer Arizona at whatever the live
spread is. That's the new meta? Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it until it doesn't work, because the stats behind it are amazing, and last week was beautiful.
Easiest
for me.
Cover you've had all year, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it literally, like, I was so mad because the Broncos, like, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this plus 19.5 because if the Broncos score a few touchdowns, I'm definitely losing my under. But it'll basically guarantee that one. It just worked out real well for me. Mm-hmm. So hoping the Chargers get that first half lead in that game. But I think I like five other games better, so I don't think I'm going to put Arizona in that one. But I do think that is the right side.
Anything else to add on the week 7 slate before we get out of here, Codes? I think we should probably just recap what our five would be right now, or at least maybe give 3 or 4 of them. And then, you know, obviously we will cement the picks on Saturday, but we won't have a show in between now and this weekend. So, Cody, do you have a few that you can give out?
Sure, absolutely. So right now we're looking at Pittsburgh +2 at home on Sunday Night Football. Kansas City +1.5 at San Francisco. We are looking at the Giants +3 at home against Philadelphia. We would then be looking at the over in the Tennessee Buffalo game, over 41. And then, you know what? One thing we didn't talk about when we talked about Denver, New Orleans, the Sean Payton versus Dennis Allen head coaching matchups, just to complete. Just not even close. Give me Denver -2.5. I'm going to go ahead and lock it in now while we can. So Denver -2.5 is locked in for Thursday Night Football.
All righty. Let's go. Love to see you riding the Broncos. And for myself, like the Bengals, Browns under 41.5, like the Browns as well at 5.5, hoping to get a 6 or a 6.5 in the next couple days on that one, though. Green Bay -2.5 at home against Houston. If it's at 3, probably won't end up at my 5, but if it's in 2.5, it will be in strong consideration. I'd grab it now while you can. No, Minnesota, we didn't have a lean there. Giants +3, definitely like that one a lot. I might end up letting Cody have it because there's a couple home dogs I like, but on the Giants. Raiders, if it gets to +7, like them a lot against the Rams in what will be a Raiders home game in L.A. Chiefs +1.5, probably going to be in there. That over-under on Jets, Pittsburgh is interesting as well. Probably just one of those, and the Browns, Bengals, I wouldn't put them both in there. And then Tampa Bay +3.5 on Monday night. We really like that one as well.
So the only one right now, we have KC +1.5 that we're going to overlap on, and then potentially the Giants. Is that right?
Potentially the Giants, yeah.
Okay, perfect. I like where we're at there. 2 is a good number. Once we get over that, then we're getting a little dicey. So,
yeah. Cool.
All right, well, sick. Well, this will wrap up. Again, like Nick said, the only podcast this week. Maybe we'll try and get one earlier out next week since we won't have a picks podcast. Maybe we can just break down the picks and kind of go over our thoughts for why. Join the Facebook group, again, in the link in the podcast description to see our 10, I guess 9 other picks, and then obviously hammer Denver -2.5. We're going to ride with a couple other Broncos fans that will also be on this bachelor party. So hopefully I win some money. You guys have an enjoyable time at the game and get to celebrate a win in New Orleans. Oh, yeah. So, all right. Peace out, everybody.